Well, welcome to yet another in an seemingly endless series of political perspectives on WFSU and for FSU and Facebook Live. And I'm Tom Flanagan. Thank you so much to be part of our outreach as we determine who is running for what in the upcoming primary and also in some cases the general election that takes place in November. We are going to be focusing on the race for Leon County School Board District 1 this morning. And before we begin, a reminder, you are always invited to be part of the conversation on Perspectives via phone and email. 850-414-1234 is the phone number. If it's long distance twixt you and us, by that old-fashioned landline technology, we got a toll-free number for you, 800-926-8809. Email perspectives at WFSU.org or send us a tweet at WFSU Perspective. Now, this episode will be telecast tonight at 7 Eastern Time on 4FSU, Comcast Channel 4, and Leon, Gadsden, Wakulla, Madison, Taylor, and Brooks Counties. And as we mentioned, we're being live streamed on our webpage, and we invite you to hang out around the online fire right after the live radio program goes off the air. We'll continue the discussion for a little bit here on Facebook. Excuse me, and our entire program, including the extended. Woo, here we go.
Okay, Tom.
You just have to make sure that you have water at the ready. The entire program, including the extended conversation, will be archived on WFSU, and our world-renowned, critically acclaimed Bandwagon will be airing live on WFSU-TV and for FSU on Tuesday, July 31st. That's going to start at 7 o'clock. We're making some arrangements because that's also a school board meeting, as I have been informed.
Yes, but we're working around that.
We are working around that. We sure are. Leon County School Board District 1. In order, let's meet the candidates if we could here. And we drew these randomly to make sure we had the proper order randomized this morning. We start with Patty Ball Thomas. Ms. Thomas, welcome. It is good to see you, ma'am.
It's great to be here, Tom. Thank you for the invitation.
We also have Alva Striplin, the incumbent in the contest. Ms. Striplin.
Thank you, Tom. Always happy to be here with Perspectives.
And let's also meet Ricky Bell, another challenger for District 1. Hi, Ricky.
Glad to be here, Tom.
Let's go back around the table, and if you could start here with a description of your background and what possessed you to jump into the race. Let's begin with some personal stuff here. Patty Ball Thomas, you're first.
I am an associate professor in pre-kindergarten elementary education in the Department of Education at Florida A&M University. I've lived in the northeast side of Tallahassee for more than 30 years. I am a graduate of Florida A&M University and Florida State University, and my PhD is in educational leadership. I'm an active member of several boards that focus on improving the lives of children and parents who live in Tallahassee and the surrounding areas. I currently serve on the District Advisory Committee for Leon County Public Schools. I'm the chair of Kids Incorporated. I have experience in teaching in both urban and rural schools districts. I also worked in the Florida Department of Education as an educational consultant, a program specialist, and program administrator. During my tenure at the Department of Education, I worked on policy and curriculum development and the interpretation of Florida statutes and their impact on public schools.
All right, ma'am. And why did you jump into this particular race?
I have a broad experience in education, and I have made contributions in the arena in several different venues. I've never had the experience of serving on the school board. I think with all of the experience that I bring to the table, that I would be an asset to our current school board. And that's why I decided to run for school board.
Thank you very much, Ms. Patty Ball Thomas. Next up, Alva Striplin, the incumbent in District 1. And Ms. Striplin, again, for the benefit of folks who perhaps are not familiar with you, a bit about your background and why you are seeking yet another term.
Absolutely.
On the school board.
Yes. So born and raised in Tallahassee, product of the Leon County Public School System, go Trojans, Lincoln graduate. Stayed at home mom for many years, was a classroom volunteer, and just became very passionate about education. It was was not my original calling. I have a business degree, but went to teach at Deer Lake Middle School and absolutely loved it. But during that time, I was a single mom making $37,000 a year trying to support my family. And it was at that moment that I knew I wanted to do more. I wanted to be more involved in public education and be a voice for teachers and students. So I decided to run for office. And I remember my dad losing sleep over it when I first told him. He was not really excited about it and I think was just concerned about, putting yourself out there. It's tough. And I commend everybody in this room today that wants to be in public service. There's nothing more rewarding than since I was elected in 2014, so I've served my first term, we've made unbelievable strides. We've reduced so much wasteful spending at the district that we've been able to give our salaries, our teacher salaries. I was a huge advocate for raises in teacher salaries. When I first ran, we ranked 54th in the state, and now we're up to 43rd. Now, it's small progress, but it's progress, but we're going to keep moving in that direction. We've also given employee raises to all of our school-sided employees, bus drivers, food service, substitutes. These are people that work very hard and support our teachers and students every day, and they've been neglected for far too long. So we've made that a priority. We're making improvements to schools. Our graduation rates are up. I mean, we're making progress, and I want to keep it moving in that direction.
Very good. Ricky Bell, sir, you're another challenger here for District 1. A little bit of background for you, sir, and why you're in the race.
Well, again, like Alva said, I'm a product of Leon County Schools, born and raised in Tallahassee. Graduate of Rickards High School, graduate of TCC, graduate of Florida State University, graduate of FAMU. I spent 41 years in public education, 22 as a classroom teacher, three as a school-level administrator. The last 16, I've been the director of student activities for the Leon County School District. I've taught at every public high school in Leon County except Childs. I've taught at every level, elementary, middle, and high. So I think I got the experience and I've got the background of what it takes to make a good school board member. Why I jumped into the race, I've worked for several principals throughout my career. All of them were great, but one that I admired very much was Mike Conley, who's principal at Leon High School. I worked there for 10 years. And I watched him, how he worked as an administrator and how he put a value on kids being involved in the school and how that made the school feel like a family and how kids felt more empowered and connected to the school when they were apart. I watched him attend almost every event that school ever had, no matter what it was, the choral concert, the band concert, the athletic events. Those kids knew that he valued them being a part of a program at the school. And so I watched him when he got into his career, he went on and became a school board member. He ran for school board, and he was probably one of the best school board members we ever had. So I've kind of patterned my career life after him when I watched him work with the kids at Leon High School.
We're taking you to school this morning here on WFSU's Perspectives. We have the three candidates for Leon County School Board District 1, and they are Patty Ball Thomas, Alva Striplin, the incumbent, and another challenger, Ricky Bell. And you are invited to be part of that conversation if you have any questions or concerns about the school district in our neck of the woods. 850-414-1234 is the number. You can also drop us an email, perspectives@wfsu.org, or since we are live on Facebook, you can make a Facebook comment and we will get that into the mix. One of the biggest issues in education today is certainly the school choice movement, and we hear that articulated whether you're talking to members of the Florida legislature or members of the local school district. And let's start with you, Patty Ball Thomas, the whole idea of competitiveness, making the traditional public school system among a number of choices that are available to students and parents. As a school board member, your take on that ongoing, dare we call it, beyond a debate, an actual controversy. What do you think?
Let me just start with choice. I believe that parents have the right to choose. I will say that. I do believe that there are different ways to teach children, and I don't feel that one size fit all. So, yes, parents should have choices that they can make. My concern is that if we are taking funds that are earmarked for public schools to fund the choices, then we are trying to destroy the public school system as we have known it for many years. So funding, our schools are already suffering from lack of funds. We're looking at limited supplies. Teachers now are having to go into their pockets to pay for construction paper, pencils and crayons, and those types of supplies that you need to have a balanced curriculum. We're looking at our textbooks. There's so many factors that come into play with those dollars that are earmarked for public schools. And if we take those funds away, then what are we saying about public schools? We will be destroying them. Eventually, they will become obsolete. Again, please know, I do feel that parents should have choices. We've had private schools for a number of years where parents could send their kids to private schools. So if you can afford to do that, that's great. I just do not support, again, and I will say, taking the FTE dollars that are earmarked for public schools and using them to fund choices.
And since we throw acronyms around so much, not only in education, but in all government things, FTE, full-time equivalent.
Yes, yes. That's exactly how the dollars are earmarked and come into the public school system.
Your take then is every dollar that is allocated to a charter or a private school is $1 taken away from traditional
exactly.
public education.
Exactly, Tom. Yes.
Okay. We want to move on also to Ms. Striplin and Mr. Bell, but a break now is bearing down upon us, and we're going to take that momentarily here on Perspectives. Again, education is what we're talking about here. There are three Leon County School Board jobs that are up for grabs in this particular electoral cycle, and this is the first of those three, District Number 1, with the challengers being Patty Ball Thomas and Ricky Bell, the incumbent being Alva Striplin, and you are welcome to be part of that conversation, too. If you have a question about the schools, you have a youngster in school, you'd like to find out where these folks stand on the issues impacting you and the kids, give us a call, 850-414-1234. And we'll be right back with this edition of Perspectives in a moment. Back on Perspectives, Leon County School Board, District Number 1, the incumbent Alva Striplin, the challengers Patty Ball Thomas and Ricky Bell, and Ms. Striplin again, school choice we're talking about here, your thoughts on it, your take on it, and what you as a school board member can do, pro or con.
And so let's clarify just a little bit. So school choice, we have a lot of different school choices here in Tallahassee, and we do offer our parents choice. We are supporters of choice. We have IB programs at several schools that fit the needs of many students. We want people to be able to choose if possible. We do have to be a little careful of overcrowding. We have several schools that have been choiced a little too much. And then that's a taxation on the administration, the guidance counselors, the teachers. So we have to be careful about that. But I am supportive of choice. Now, let's segue into another, which I think you're referring to, is charter schools. I'll give you a very blaring example. Over the years, since 2008, we sent $25 million to Imagine, which was a charter school that just closed last year. $25 million was pulled out of the public education system and sent to Imagine. And they failed. In many different measures, they failed. So those students can return to the public schools, traditional public school system, having fallen behind, creating an issue for our teachers to try to get them caught up along with their everyday activities. And not only that, that property was then privately owned. So we sent public taxpayer money to fund private property. And the school board, under my leadership this year, we took a stance. We took a very difficult stance. And a lot of what we do, it is controversial. You're never going to make everybody happy. But you have to have a voice for public education to serve on the school board. And that's what we decided to do. We fought for change, and we rejected two charter school applications. One was a little more local, homegrown, community-based, but with a background of serving very higher, upper socioeconomic. We want diversity in our schools, all of our schools. But the other one was a for-profit management company, diverting even more dollars away from that school, leaving that school with not enough resources, we felt, to be successful. And by doing that, one of them did not appeal. They decided, okay, we won't land in Tallahassee, and we saved our district about $1 to $2 million approximately on an annual basis. That's money that we're going to keep in our struggling public schools, with our teachers in our classrooms. We've made that a priority, and it's been a really difficult one. We have seen 50% of our charter schools close in Tallahassee. So out of the 10 that have opened, 5 have closed. And that's just a drain on our resources without success. We're just not seeing the success. We know, and we want, I want, I urge the, one of the charter applications, put that energy and enthusiasm into your local public school. Put that passion for education and the things that you want to do better, put that into your local public school. That's where we need to be investing. If we all work together, our community is going to be stronger for it.
Okay, thank you. Ricky Bell, your thoughts.
Okay, if we're talking charter schools, again, I agree with Patty and Alva. I'm not for throwing public dollars away. However, if a choice or a charter school can prove themselves sustainable and productive and can manage their money well and the kids can achieve, a choice is good for parents. I believe competition raises the bar for everybody. And many times that may raise the bar for us. You know, we're right now at a critical state with two of our Southside elementary schools that if we don't do something right now to improve them, a charter is going to come in and take them over. And that would be a disaster for our school system if that was to happen. So I think we need to put every single resource we have into making sure that those two schools are successful, because to me that's what's important right now.
Well, let's continue that conversation then. What do you do about especially a situation like Pineview Elementary, one of the schools that has either gotten a D or an F, is in danger of being taken over by a charter type of management situation? And yes, they've been through some pretty rough times here the past year, some changes at the helm, you know, the principal's office, right, all that kind of thing. What do you do about
First, you got to have a great leader, okay? You got to analyze where your dollars are spent. They get a lot of Title I dollars. You need to look at that and see what are we buying for the kids so they can learn and have learning gains. You got to put the best teachers there. You got to have incentives for them to go. You got to put resources there to make sure those kids, you got to lower the class size, okay? You got to put maybe more aides in the room, put more hands-on in the room. You got to do things to where these kids have more opportunities to learn with a teacher in front of them, one-on-one. And to raise their test scores, there are many different sources out there that we can get that help kids to achieve higher standards.
Okay, Patty Bill Thomas, go ahead. Any ideas you have about particularly the two schools that are in jeopardy right now?
Well, first of all, I commend the superintendent for putting Carmen Cummins Connors over at Pineview Elementary. I think she'll be a great leader for that school. I do have a concern, though, about the way we have structured our schools. And when you say Title I schools, what you are doing is you're taking the kids who are in jeopardy education-wise. They perform. They're the lowest performing students that you have. And when you have a school that consists of the majority of the students are low performing, what do you expect? You have kids who come in, they're struggling, and 95% of them fall into that category. So I think we need to get away from Title I schools. I think what we need to do, we need to spread those students out. When I taught in the school system, we had Title I within the school. So there were students, yes. I was a Title I reading teacher at Oak Ridge Elementary School. So those kids were pulled out from the class during the day, and we gave them the additional instruction that they needed to have. So we supplemented the instruction that was going on in the schools. But when you take your entire school and you make it Title I children, you're setting it up for failure. So I would say, as a school board member, I would advocate for looking at restructuring our schools and not having just Title I schools.
Would it be kind of like a busing situation? I mean, you know that really didn't seem to work back in the day.
Well, for me, there's something that has to be done. The other day, we were on a forum, the three of us, and Alva said that we use 30% of our buses, or either Ricky, someone said, only 30% of our buses are used to transport students today. What happens? How can we get better service for our students? I mean, so it takes researching, investigating, looking at how we can creatively take away, restructure our schools. And busing may be a part. Busing may be a part. And I think I said the other day that all parents want the best for their children. They may not be able to provide that, but if they realize that their kids are going to maybe spend some extra time on the bus to get to a school that's an A school, they will probably encourage their children attending those schools. So, Tom, right now I can't just give you the absolute cure for this, but I do think that when you have schools that are just all low-performing students, you're going to get DNF schools. It's so just a given.
That becomes the normative behavior then within that particular school. Ms. Stripling, what do you think?
First thought is Title I brings in additional dollars to the schools. So while we don't like labels, that is a way of additional funding. So I would absolutely we need to stick with that. We also have a Title I council that studies all of our Title I schools. These are people that are advocates for that community of learners, and they could be people who pull their kids out and decide to go somewhere else. But they've chosen to invest and to study. I'm really anxious to see what they come out with. They're looking at Title I schools around the state that are also A schools, and what do they do? And I mentioned this in several other issues where the three of us have been together. I'm a big advocate for incentivizing those teachers and for smaller class size. I think the one huge difference we can make in our students that are in the schools that are struggling is the reduction of class size. But one thing that we need to focus on, this is a community issue. This is not a just started in kindergarten. These are families that are struggling. There are some of them. We have 1 in 5 of our students lives in poverty. How can we expect those kids to learn like another student who knows where their next meal is coming from? These children are facing such adversity sometimes. They come from, we have 800 and some students that are homeless. We're serving 800 students in the Leon County Public School System that have no home. They have no idea where they're going to sleep at night. We have got to support these students and these families as a community if we're going to expect them to be able to succeed in our school system. And that starts 0 to 5. Before we ever get our hands on them, if we can solve some of those problems and support our kids and our families, they're going to be successful students. We made the change in leadership at Pineview. We've made several good strides under new leadership with administration. That's going to help as well.
When it comes to some of the issues, in fact, most of the issues that are facing school districts, not only here in Leon County, but also around the state, the Florida legislature, of course, is a partner in all of those considerations because of the funding, because of the other laws that are put in place, whether it's how you authorize charter schools or what the FTE is going to be or school construction money or any of these other things. That comes from top down. Being in the Capital County, does that give members of the Leon County School Board maybe a little bit more cachet? You just have to head up onto the hill to actually do some lobbying. Now, I know you have other things to do, but Patty Ball Thomas, do you see that as part of the job too?
I do. I think we're going to have to advocate for our schools, be it with the legislators and other vested, interested communities within Tallahassee. Definitely lobbying for our schools. I think we need to be more involved in the legislative process. We need to be more visible. I'm not sure now. I can't say whether The school districts have been that way. Most of the times, most people have people that are identified as their lobbyists. I'm not sure if school board members can wear that hat, being a lobbyist. But yes, to be a strong advocate for our schools is something that I would expect that a school board member would be doing. And we do have an advantage. We are right here in Tallahassee. The other thing is, not only do we have access to the legislature, but we have access to great universities. So somehow or another, we need to leverage again those assets that are here for us here in Tallahassee. So, yes, that's working with the legislature should be something that school board should do.
Okay. Alva Striplin?
Absolutely. I've been up there. I know all of my legislators on a personal first name. Senator Mumford is one of my dearest friends and mentor. When I first got elected, he was just a big supporter. Representative Beshears, Representative Alexander, Representative Osley. These are people that I see several times a year. I go up and discuss our needs with them. I advocate for public education at every turn. If you are going to sit on a school board, you need to be an advocate for public education. And yes, we are in a very convenient spot that we are located in the state capitol. We could be up there at a moment's notice and see what's going on. And we need to be part of that process. As public servants, we need to advocate for public education. And you do have a school board member in me that participates in that, not because I'm paid to do that, not because it's part of my job. And we do have contract lobbyists. But I want to be involved in that process. I want to be a voice for public education.
Okay. You headed to the Hill there, Ricky Bell?
Yes. But let me get back to the didn't feel like I got to answer the Title I question.
Please do.
Okay. So I feel all kids can learn, rich, poor, black, white, it doesn't matter. Okay, and parents send their kids to us the best they got. Whatever they send to that door, that's what they got. That's the best they got. So it's our job as a school system to give them the best education possible, and that's what we need to do at all of our schools. I think parents want to send their schools that are close, neighborhood schools, and so we need, as a board, provide that for them. That's our job as a school board member, to provide them the best education possible. Okay, Capitol Hill. I've got a lot of friends up there, too. Mr. Mumford's been a friend of mine for many, many years. I've worked on, I think, all of his campaigns. I would definitely, that's my job as a school board member. You've got to be an advocate for public schools. I mean, if not, why are you running for the position? Mm-hmm. You're the salesman. You're the guy out there that's got to lead the way. You got to be the face of the school system, you know, as a board member.
So. All righty. We've got a Facebook question. Is it feasible to look at allowing, we're back to charters here, feasible to look at allowing charter schools to prove themselves for 3 to 5 years in certain areas prior to considering allocating taxpayer dollars for their support? Kind of like on approval.
We wish.
That's what I've said all along. That, you know, if they can show some sustainability and some productivity, and, you know, they'll have a little skin in the game. Here I am. Look what we've done. Then you can allocate public dollars to them, but not just come off the street and say, hey, I want to start a charter school and with no background, no experience, and then fail. And like Alva said, we get the kids back, and we have to catch them up.
Yeah, well, given the charter process, though, can you do that as
no.
a school board?
No. Unfortunately, DOE, the legislature has said when they apply to you, you must accept them. So we have three criteria that when we look at. They are supposed to provide innovative curriculum in their application, and they are supposed to then show diversity in their population and in addition to academic success. What they don't have to show us is where they're going to locate in town. They are not required when they come to us to apply for a charter. They do not have to tell us where they're going to locate. So if we approve it, which is very difficult to disapprove, which the school board did this year to great success, but we don't have that luxury of saying, you know what, show us you're going to be successful, and if you're successful in 3 years, then we will. We don't have that luxury. The legislature has taken that away from us. We have to keep fighting for, and that's it goes right back to this other question. We have to keep staying there and advocating for public education. The charter is pulling dollars out, and not only to schools that we don't see succeed in Tallahassee, not all, some of them do, but by and large, the majority do not succeed, but yet we keep pumping money into them, and that is detracting money from the schools that so desperately need it.
Okay, Patty Bell Thomas, you wanted to jump in there. How do you hold them, meaning the charter schools, the folks who come to the school district and say, we want to operate in Leon County, give us a charter? And
well, Alva stated it very succinctly. I mean, it's clear that if they make an application, that we review that application and make sure that they meet the criteria. If they meet the criteria, then your hands are almost tied. You're going to have to go on and approve that. One of my concerns, though, about charter schools are the quality of staff. I'm concerned about exemplary professional educators working in charter schools. And it's what I've heard about charter schools is that we don't have that kind of requirements. I mean, so our hands are tied, and we're not sure that the kids are receiving a quality education. In some places they are, in some places they aren't. So it's a toss-up. It's really a toss-up. But one of the things that I would do, that if a charter school is approved here in Leon County, as a school board member, I would try to embrace and establish a relationship with that charter school, even some kind of partnership to maybe say, well, what about providing maybe you all participating in some of our staff development that we provide our teachers? I mean, somehow or another, create some kind of relationship so that we can increase performance based upon the teacher performance. For example, we have to make sure that our teachers in the public school system are performing the way they need to. So is there some kind of way we could kind of influence them participating in our professional development to upgrade your teachers? I mean, so there's so many factors involved with that. Now, early on, when you asked me about choice, I dealt with choice. I didn't bring charter schools into the – I just answered that question. But, again, I do support what the school board did about denying the charter. That charter school. But then there may be others that we can embrace.
We have a lot of areas that we can still talk about here when it comes to education, because we have the three contenders for Leon County School Board District 1 here with us on our Political Perspectives, Patty Ball Thomas, Alva Striplin, and Ricky Bell. And we are awaiting either a comment, a question from you on Facebook Live, or you can call us 850-414-1234. We'll be right back. We are back on our Political Perspectives, Leon County School Board District 1. We're putting these folks under pressure. The beads of sweat are popping here on our program.
We're passionate, Tom. We're passionate.
That's right. We are. We care about our kids. We care about education. This Perspectives episode telecast tonight at 7 o'clock Eastern on 4FSU. We're also live streaming on our Facebook Live, and we invite you to hang around online after the live radio program goes off the air as we continue the discussion for a while right here on Facebook. And for those folks just tuning in, a reminder that our world-renowned, critically acclaimed program Bandwagon will air live on WFSU-TV and 4FSU on Tuesday, July 31st, starting at 7 o'clock. And we got some callers that are lined up here. Let's go first to Claudette on line one. Hi, Claudette. Welcome to Perspectives.
Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am.
My concern is this. I understand the draw of charter schools to some degree. And one of the reasons I understand it is because our public schools, especially at the elementary level, seem to be forced or mandated to use particular reading programs and to be on particular pages on particular days. Those charter schools don't have those mandates. I would like for us to take a look at possibly freeing up our teachers to teach and not be lockstepped into some of the programs in math and reading in particular.
I couldn't agree more. And it's funny you brought that up. Thank you for calling. So let's shift just a minute to a more positive. I don't want us to be Leon County Schools against charter schools, because they are part of us. And when they do become part of us, we embrace them and we want them to succeed. We want every student to succeed no matter where you go. So let's talk about this for just a minute. So I went and visited Tallahassee Math and Science not long after we rejected the charter. And the principal invited me out there, and I thought, no, I don't have time for that. No, make time for it. I was in awe. Tallahassee Math and Science is located in an area of town with some need. They are academically successful. They are an exemplary model of diversity. They have a principal who is energetic, enthusiastic, writes grants for playgrounds, for gardens, for 3D printers. The man was incredible, and I became a huge fan of Tallahassee Math and Science when I was out there. But to get back to your question, one of the things I asked him, what made you come to the public school system, come to a traditional public school, why a charter school? And he said, you know, we have flexibility. We have more, we can offer things that, the reading is an example. We're not bound to the same guidelines that y'all are because of state mandates. So yet the same state mandates that are placed on our public schools are also the ones that are pulling people away and putting them in charter schools because they see more flexibility in the learning environment and the curriculum. So I could not support you more. On that issue, we need to be up there again advocating for flexibility. Our teachers need to stop teaching to the test. The test needs to have less importance or go away altogether. Our teachers need to have innovative curriculum. They need to have creative lesson plans. They need to be able to teach their students as they see fit and still meeting the guidelines and the benchmarks. But if they want to have a creative day of learning, they need to have the flexibility to do that.
Okay, thanks, Ms. Triplin. Now, before we move on, did you visit the chicken coop?
I did. Oh, chicken coop, garden, and a parent even donated where they had built, I guess it was the facility out there with the chicken coop. The garden was incredible. It was a thriving learning environment. It's not that we hate all charter schools. That's not it at all. They still detract the funding, but there is a successful model out there in Tallahassee Math and Science.
Yeah, do you have a different approach, Ricky, to that yin and yang?
I've been to the chicken coop and the garden at Mumford Middle School mm-hmm. and at Roberts Elementary School. So our public schools have chicken coops and gardens as well. Mm-hmm. As far as the question that the caller had about the reading, I'm not an advocate for tests. Okay, I believe we can do better than giving these third graders these tests that just you know, wear them out and make them nervous. But the teachers feel, because that's how they're going to get a raise, is according to how their kids do on the test, they have to do certain programs for certain curricula to prepare the kids for the test. So to me, if we eliminate the test, now that's going to give the teacher more flexibility, more opportunity to be innovative and to do different things if they didn't have to teach to the test. But that's something that's put on them.
Yeah, and Ms. Patty Bell Thomas.
I feel that, first of all, let me say that I do visit a lot of schools here in Leon County because I place student teachers in these schools. That's one of my responsibilities as a university professor. It's to supervise students. And I have watched, and it disturbs me when I go in and I see everybody in the classroom on the same page of the textbook reading the same information. Whatever happened to individualized instruction? I think that I have not been to the chicken coop, I will say that. But I do believe that that kind of creativity should be in our classrooms in Leon County schools. There are many ways that we can verify and document student achievement other than doing standardized testing or tests that we feel that teachers have to teach to the test. That's whatever happened to good teaching. We have handicapped our children. We let publishing companies determine what we teach and how we teach. And I think that the school board needs to look closely at our curriculum, our instructional materials that are being used, and how they are being implemented and kids are being taught in the school, because we know it's not right. If you're an educator, you know that kids are not learning and they don't learn that way. Everybody has their own rate of learning. There's a wonderful little book I tell parents to read because they wonder, well, my kid's not doing this, but the other kid is doing this. Go get Leo the Late Bloomer. All kids, as Ricky said, can learn, but they learn at different rates. And I think that our schools' classrooms need to be a little bit more flexible, creative, and we need to get away from basing paychecks on where the kids are in a textbook.
Another Facebook question. What trauma-informed program models would you want to see implemented in the Leon County School District, and how would it build resilience in our students and families? Trauma-informed programs, I believe that the basis of that being that things that happen, particularly to even preschool kids, can have pretty serious ramifications further on when they get into school, when they hit middle school, whatever. And what programs can you put in place there? Let's start with you, Pat.
One of my goals, and you can see it on my right card, is I believe that we need to provide mental health services to children. We have, I know, Turnabout, where some kids are served, provided services. But there's so many traumatic issues that kids are dealing with. Again, as Ricky said, they come to school, they're hungry. Parents could have been fighting all night. Depending upon the environment they live in, it could be a lot of crime that's going on. When I did my dissertation, I did it on preparing young children, the brain research on preparing young children in a school ready to learn. And we know that a lot of trauma, it affects the development of the brain. And so what we need to do is have a system in place in our schools. And I know that Alva said that she has some program that she's come across, which is, I think is wonderful. But we need to start early. It's not just for high school kids, but kids that young kids come to school. And if you are in a kindergarten and you watch kids and you have the socialization, you don't have to ask them what happened in the home. They model that behavior when they're socializing. So we can find early on where kids are having some issues. And how do we work with them to make sure that later on in life they are not stigmatized by that? Because then it gets into bullying, and other issues. So
all that on top of, at the same time, the teachers have to teach to the test and fulfill all these requirements that are coming down from the Florida legislature. And here's one more thing that you have to deal with.
Yes. Mental wellness is definitely, when I think of the things that I want to accomplish now and into the future, mental wellness of our students is at the top of the list. I want to see not just guidance counselors. Our poor guidance counselors, they have more on their plate than we can handle. I heard a student... we were at a roundtable with Senator Nelson, our Congressman Nelson, about education and safety and mental wellness. And he said he went to his guidance counselor to make an appointment. And she said, okay, what do you have in 2 weeks? If that was a student in crisis, he can't wait 2 weeks. And our students are in crisis. I am really focused on the middle school and high school students. I think that a lot of what we're seeing in our country and in our state is because we're not addressing the wellness of it. And I don't call it illness because these are kids, they're not mentally ill, most of them. They're just in crisis. They're struggling with typical things that we all struggled with, except they're seeing it on their phone. They're seeing it. They're constantly seeing the world around them and how great everything looks on Instagram or whatever it is. And they feel maybe that they don't quite measure up, or maybe they're coming with issues from the home. We know that many of our students come to school with struggling emotional needs that stem from the home. I would like to see a mental wellness counselor in each school that is there at a moment's need for if a student needs to discuss something, and can provide them resources to help them. Like Patty was referring, I found a program based in Colorado called Sources of Strength. It is a peer-led program. So what I really like about this is we know that our students most often when they see an emergency with their friends, their peers know about it first. They know about it way before an adult knows about it. This is a peer-led group. We're going to pilot at Montford Middle School this coming school year. I could not be more excited, and it's been embraced by that community, by the principal and the teachers there, because I think they've seen the need there. We have to support our students' emotional needs, but if we engage the kids in that school to then market this idea of we are going to support you, come to us if you have a need, and it engages kids from all different walks of life at that school, then there are adult leaders that they can refer to. But it is that we have got to face the mental wellness of our students. That is a top priority.
Okay, Ricky Bill, any ideas you have there?
Okay, this is right down my alley, because this is what I'm running on, is the fact that we need to provide more opportunities for kids to connect to schools, to be involved, because I feel like if a kid is a part of a program, a group, a team, a club, they're going to feel good about themselves. They're going to learn how to be part of a team. They're going to learn how to get along with their peers. They're going to share things with their peers. They're going to—I don't know of a single person, adult or kid, who doesn't feel good when someone brags about something that they did well, whether it's an individual task, whether it's a team task. If someone says, hey, that was a good job, or hey, you did well, that makes them feel good about themselves. That makes them want to come back. The school needs to be a place where they feel safe and comfortable. And being a part of something in the school helps them to do that. And I don't know if we have a single board member that advocates for providing more opportunities for kids to be involved in schools. Okay, and it doesn't matter what it is. It can be anything from an academic club to a sporting club to a performing arts group. That is what we need. To me, that solves so many problems. You know, we do need mental health counselors because kids have certain big issues that come up. But we can reach more kids and help more kids by involving them in something in that school and making them feel improves their self-esteem. You know, it's overall a good thing.
All righty. Let's see what Jesse has to say on line two. Welcome, Jesse. Good to have you on Perspectives.
Thank you very much. I've been listening to most of your program, and I've got a question as it relates to the relationship between the school board and its collective body, and as well as its individual members, and the elected school superintendent. The current school superintendent has made very clear his position on the issue of elected superintendent versus an appointed superintendent. I would like to hear very briefly from each one of you your position on that, and be specific, please. And in the past, prior superintendents, I think part of the problem, and I emphasize part of the problem, is that it had a mentality of a rubber stamp. And that, I think, helped perpetuate part of the problems that the school system had, in part, of course. So if you would, each one of you comment on that, I would like to know your position on it specifically, please. And thank you for taking my question.
Okay, thank you very much, Jesse. We appreciate that question. Patty Bell Thomas, what do you think, appointed versus elected superintendent?
Well, it when you have an elected superintendent, it's very difficult to deal with issues that come up, because not only are you an elected official, but that person's an elected official as well. So really a lot of coming together has to occur. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to rubber stamp, but I think that there needs to be a lot of discussion and a lot of research before you make a final decision. So if I am elected as a school board member, I am not a rubber stamper. I believe that I really support an appointed superintendent. I will say that. I really support appointed superintendent, because that way I think you'll find that superintendents will work with the school board members a little bit. It'll be an easier relationship, common ground kind of thing, and not a lot of antagonistic behavior. But nevertheless, we don't have that. We have an elected superintendent, and I believe that that's going to be probably one of the most difficult things that I will have to deal with, is working with that person, because I just don't believe in rubber stamping. I don't think the superintendent has the final say-so on what we should do. Again, I think we need to deal with each issues, research those issues before we say yes to anything that happens.
It's interesting in Florida how we go back and forth from elected to appointed school superintendents. Mm-hmm. And right now the elected folks seem to have do you look upon the superintendent as really, it should be a product of the board, or an independent where you have a little bit of adversarial stuff going on occasionally?
Oh, we have adversarial. You call Rocky right now and ask him, have you ever knocked heads with Alva? He'd be like, yeah, all the time. And I did with Jackie Bonds as well. So This is one that I waffle back, forth, and I'll tell you why. When we go to the Florida School Board Association Conference, we meet school board members from all over the state, all 67 counties, and the majority of them are appointed. And so then they come to us and ask us, how does it have an elected? Is that because we think we might need to go back to that? So what we see with appointed superintendents, they are not rooted in their community. They were brought in from somewhere else by a headhunter, and then two years later, they're taken to another school district. So they don't have that hometown involvement and love for their community that we see in Rocky Hanna, actually, right now. They also make about three or four times what an elected does. So they come in with a price, and it is a huge price tag.
And it's competitive.
It's way competitive. And then the board can fire them. If you make a board member mad, you can fire them. Now, I make Rocky mad all the time. I made Jackie mad. The very first meeting, I went in and had poured through my agenda and said, why do you need a third assistant and a secretary in your office? And I thought he was going to lose it. But we respected each other, and we moved on for the better of education.
Okay, we want to continue this, but just real quick, Ricky Bell, appointed or elected? What's your preference?
I never like to give up my vote.
Very good. We will talk some more about this here in a few moments here. We have our Facebook Live continuing here on Perspectives, but the radio portion and TV portion is roaming off here into infinity. And thank you very much to Ricky Bell, Patty Bell Thomas, and Alva Striplin here, candidates for District 1 in the Leon County School Board. Perspectives produced by WFSU in Tallahassee. Taylor Cox and Lydell Rawls on the connections. Our TV crew, Houston Brannon, Suzanne Smith, Randy Staney, Robbie Gaffney, Christian Summersill, and Kadesia Elysium. Facebook Live and FSU.org is Tricia Moynihan, and I'm Tom Flanagan. Tomorrow, the race for Leon County School Board District 3 will be our next reconnection here on Perspectives.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcasts. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.
Welcome to our ongoing conversation portion of our Political Perspectives here on WFSU, and we are coming to you online right now, a continuation of the conversation we began during the previous hour as we talk to our Leon County School Board District 1 contenders there, Patty Ball, Thomas, Alva Striplin, the incumbent, and Ricky Bell here with us as we turn over the microphones to them for kind of a summation. This is a little bit more than I think what we could call an elevator speech, because I'm going to give you as much time as you need to talk about what other things you think are of critical importance to the district and how you would handle those things. So, Patty Ball Thomas, if you would be so kind as to tell us what your priorities would be. You get the nod, you're in there, and it's all yours.
Okay, thank you so much, Tom. First, I want to say that my objective is to improve the quality of educational experiences for all students in Leon County. If I'm elected, I will work to expand early childhood educational services, because I think that's an area that we really need to look at. Considering the issue of the Children's Service Council that's before us, I will say right off the bat, I'm a supporter of that. I have seen those councils work very effectively in other school districts, other counties around the state. I also want to ensure safe schools. And when I talk about ensuring safe schools, there are several things that come up under that. It's definitely the mental health support services in all schools are needed. Again, because our kids come to school in crisis, and sometimes it go overlooked. Again, guidance counselors are no longer guidance counselors as they were when I was in school. They were truly there to be guidance counselors. Now they are paper pushers, and they don't have time to work with children. And we do have, I know, turnabout, but still it does not provide the kind of services that I'm thinking that we need in our schools. Our kids come from many different backgrounds. They deal with so many different issues, and some things can go overlooked. I was watching something on TV the other day where this young man said, from an early age, so not just middle school and high school, but this little boy, this young man who's now a teenager, said that when at the age of 5, he knew he was depressed, but he did. He tried to put this face on, and everything was okay. So it starts early on, and I'm an advocate of early education. I want also us to increase the emphasis on drug abuse awareness in our schools because we're dealing with opioid crisis. It may not have gotten here yet, but there is something that we need to do to enlighten our students, and so that's one of the other things I'd like to see brought into the school district. And I'm also concerned about where our vocational education services are being provided and offered. Again, I saw a model or I experienced a model early on in my life where we had in our high schools, not somewhere off in the Netherlands, a place where you go for vocational and trade education, but it was part of the high school itself. And I'd like to see us consider bringing that kind of service back to the high schools. Again, dealing with what we talk about being in your community. So, again, I will serve all schools, teachers, students, and parents by ensuring that our schools are safe learning environments that foster effective communication and critical thinking while creating productive citizens who make positive contributions to society.
Thank you, Patty Ball Thomas. Appreciate that. Alva Striplin, your summation, please, ma'am.
Oh, summation. Here we go. So I think the last 4 years have been, we've seen a big turnaround. I see where Patty Ball Thomas would refer to some rubber stamping, but I can guarantee you, as uncomfortable as my life has been in the last 4 years, I cannot sit there and rubber stamp. I disagreed with Rocky about ACE and PACE moving. We had very heated words publicly. I lost that battle, and we shook hands and move on. You know, we have another battle to face every day. I did the same with Superintendent Pons. We knocked heads on many things, and particularly because I was digging into the agenda and asking questions. I was very opposed to people who retired staying on under contracts that we were sending taxpayer dollars to a private employment service to keep people there. That shouldn't happen. We have got to place an importance on our taxpayer money, the money that all of your listeners send. We have to make sure that goes into our classrooms and into our teachers and doing everything we can for our students, not for administrators, not for the district staff. And we have seen a turnaround in that. We've identified $1.9 million just wasted. And we put all of that money back into the salaries of our bus drivers, food service workers, substitute teachers. That's one thing I'm really, really proud about. We were making improvements to neglected schools. There was a huge list that came out. That's a great improvement. That's a drastic turnaround from what happened in the past. But not only that, our graduation rates are up. Our 95% of our schools are at C or better. Now, can we do better? Can we improve? Absolutely. I'd like to see all of our schools in A school. But what I want to see happen in the future is mental wellness, which we've covered in depth. I won't go into that, but that's a priority. Our students are in crisis. And some exciting things other than that, and I let some of this out of the bag, transportation audit revealed that we wasteful spending in our transportation system. Because of that, I am going to advocate for 2 school start times for the 2019-20 school year. I hope that we'd no longer see our students waiting on buses in the dark. That shouldn't happen. They need to get a good night's sleep. One thing can contribute to their mental wellness. It's that. Get a good night's sleep and not be waiting on a bus at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. So because of we keep addressing that waste and we keep putting it right back where it needs to go. So you have a school board member who, no matter how uncomfortable it is, no matter how many people I upset in the room, I'm going to ask the questions. And I don't always win, and that's okay. But that's my job. So we're going to see those things. I'm also advocating to recognize the growth that is going on in District 1. If you add together Canopy, some development along Mahan, some development along Bannerman and Bradfordville. We are experiencing a huge residential population growth, and we've got to place an importance, a priority on that. Because of that, we're restructuring the foundational structure at Moore. You're going to see great improvements to Moore Elementary School. We've added a new IB program at Moore. So I keep advocating for a District 1, and because of that, we're discussing an additional wing at Childs. We are, my district, you look at District 1 and you place a triangle on the high schools that surround it, they're all at almost 100% capacity. This is a crisis. We've got to provide for the needs of our students in District 1, and I advocate for that at every turn. And I want to keep doing that for the next 4 years. I think it's been successful, and I thank everyone for supporting me when I was a teacher, just came right out of the classroom. I think I've proven that I'm a good, successful board member, and I'd love to have their support the next time around.
Mr. Ricky Bell, the final word is yours, sir.
Well, thank you. Well, I believe the role of the superintendent is to set policy, manage the school district. It's the role of the board, to manage the day-to-day operations at the school. It's the role of the board to set policy. The only way that anything can get passed to the board is that the superintendent brings it to them for consideration. He brings it to them to approve. He's got to make the recommendation. They can say no at any time they want. That's their power. You know, when they say all in favor, I can say no. And that's what Al was talking about. That's where the power of the board comes from. Now, as far as the summation of me, my number one goal is to make sure our kids are safe. And to do that, I think we need to provide a single point of entry of all of our schools. We need to provide good fencing in our schools. We need to have cameras at our schools. We need to have resource deputies at all of our schools. Some of our schools are larger than others, like our high schools, a lot of acreage, a lot of ground. We may need to have two resource officers at those schools to protect our kids. So that to me is my number one priority. Number two is to provide, and I've said it before, opportunities for kids to connect to school, because I can list statistics, but in my last 40 years in public education, 25 have been coaching, the last 16 have been the director of student activities. I've seen how kids' attendance improves, their grades improve, their behavior improves when they're involved in the school. Graduation rates go up, suspension rates go down because of kids' involvement. And finally, I believe we need to provide opportunities for career. They can see career pathways early on. They see what else is out there. College isn't for everybody. It's for a lot of kids, but, they need to see what's out in the workforce. They need to know where they can get a skill. So when they do graduate from high school, they may go somewhere and get a career in a year. We have several vocational programs in our high schools right now. We have construction at Leon. We have welding at Godby. We have nursing at Rickards, and we're trying to expand that. Okay, so those are all good opportunities for kids. So when they do graduate, they can make a living and provide for their family, because that's what everybody wants to do. Everybody wants to be able to provide a good living for their family. So we need to provide those opportunities so kids can see what is out there for me to do.
So, Ricky Bell, Alvis Triplin, and Patty Ball Thomas, thank you all for coming on and being part of this Political Perspectives on the Leon County School Board District 1. And thanks to our audience on Facebook Live. And we will continue the discussion tomorrow on air and online on WFSU. Thanks for joining us.